Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because we were just talking about it, just saw Kylie McDaniel from ESPN, their baseball prospect expert. We've had Kylie on before.
Yep.
Just released a new top 50 prospects in baseball list. You did not, but Ethan Salas did, at number 28.
Wow.
Jackson Merrill, number 9.
Oh, killer.
Okay. So Padres with two of the top 50 in the prospects in baseball, despite having traded away their entire farm system. They still have two of the top 50 prospects in baseball. So, you know, that's average or slightly above average. There's 30 teams, so, you know, not every team can have two on the list. But the Padres do have two on the list. And rather high on that list as well.
I'm not the world's biggest prospect hugger. That is well noted. But it's nice to know that there's some guys down there that are getting the job done and turning some heads.
You can appreciate the value of prospects without hugging them. You need to have prospects, whether it's to call up or to trade.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You need to have prospects.
Yeah, no doubt.
You don't have to hug them, but you need to have them.
Yeah.
And the Padres have always had them under A.J. Preller.
They have. They always have, and we've moved quite a few of them. A lot of them are doing good things this year, but... somebody made the point in the chat. Look, it's kind of hard to fix the unfixable right now, and if you can get more production, Ben, or upgrade at other positions where maybe there are people that can help your team, that's actually a pretty decent strategy as well. If you were going to look to replace another player, if you were going to look to add, you know, to get Cronenworth back to second base, where his OPS is very high. I don't know the correlation, but if you want to go out and get a first baseman, they're a hell of a lot easier to find than a catcher, right? And so if you upgrade some other positions, well, then that hole that, you know, Austin Nola, Brett Sullivan have been is not so glaring because you're getting production from some of the other guys. Maybe if you're looking to upgrade center field, I know Trent had a great night last night. That may be a little easier to do as well. So kind of focusing your attention on another part to get that better. So then, there's not three or four holes.
Yeah, even if you do nothing, if you get, you know, production from Odor and an occasional Dixon bomb, I mean, Manny will be back fairly soon. You won't see Dixon in there. But, you know, Trent Grisham does what he does last night. Well, you're absolutely fine.
That's asking a lot to have somebody do that every day.
Yeah, you don't need to have every position be an all-star offensively. You just can't have three or four of them in a row at the bottom of your order be hitting under 200.
Yeah, I like that take of fix the fixable, you know, honestly, and upgrade. If you want to upgrade the upgradable, right? I mean, if there's no catchers out there, don't spin your wheels going to look for a catcher. Roll with what you got, because let's be honest, as far as the runners stealing and all that, at the beginning of the season, it was massively evident that it was on the pitchers. I mean, massively. Like, Blake Snell does not look over, does not slide step. Guys were just halfway the back. Ryan Weathers is really the only one that does it with any effectiveness at all. The rest, Yu Darvish doesn't really care about runners on base. Guys will swipe bags on him. Joe's okay. But you go up and down the lineup, Ben, they're stealing off the pitchers. you know, like I said, and like JWW says, fix the fixable, you know, and if you can do that, then maybe you have a shot.
Did get a tweet here from at Rick Felix, who says, if Odor keeps hitting, should Kim be worried about playing time once Manny gets back? I think the Padres would give up a little defense for some more hitting. I don't know if worried is the right word, but yeah, I mean, Kasun Kim is actually everything he's doing. I think he's got a 5-game hitting streak. His offense has been more than respectable in the month of May, especially considering his level of defense. So he's going to remain, as long as he's hitting like he is now, he's going to remain a very valuable member of the Padres. Yes, good problem to have. If everyone's hitting, including Odor and Manny's back, and you can put Odor in against a tough righty and feel like you're going to get some good at-bats and maybe a hit or two, of course Odor is going to play. If he's going to get some hits, of course he'll play.
Yeah, you platoon him,
and it may occasionally be at the expense of Kim. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. That's not something for people to worry about. But I do want to make it clear, Ha-Sung Kim is not the problem right now. He's giving you what you can hope for at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I just, you know, look, the Fernando Tatis Jr. had a chance to drive in a run last night with runners in scoring position, didn't get the job done. I know he got the sacrifice fly. But yeah, I mean, there's really nobody other than Juan Soto right now where you feel super, super confident that they're going to get a knock. I mean, really, like, you're looking at lineups, you're saying, oh yeah, he can get a knock. He can get a knock.
I mean, had Soto been on deck, there's no way Odor would have tried to score on that sacrifice fly.
I don't think so.
They would have let Soto try to get a hit. But with Ha-Sung Kim on deck, let's be a little more aggressive and see if we can score.
Yeah, it's wild because the theories that we had preseason, I mean, they really couldn't have been more wrong. And you watched even how they tried to attack the Padres hitters last night out of the Nationals bullpen, which had, you know, Mason Thompson, who was a Padre for a minute. We traded, is it Mason? It is Mason, right? Traded him for Daniel Hudson. I mean, he was wild as hell, but what's everyone trying to do to this team? They're just throwing heat.
I always get confused between Mason Thompson and Mason Saunders.
Mason Saunders is Mad Bum.
Yes, he's right. Madison Bumgarner's rodeo alter ego.
But they're going after this team with heat. They're just throwing heaters at them. They're just like, all right, I throw 96. Can you hit 96? You haven't shown that you can. Last night was a better indication, and they were talking about it in the postgame, of guys being on the fastball a little bit more last night. And look what happened. You hit four bombs. You won by three. You scored seven runs. So if they can get on time for the fastball, things are going to be okay.
More Padres talk in a minute, but first,
and get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Let's say the mood has been blessed a little bit this week, right?
Boy, it'd be nice to get one more dub tonight.
Just get the series win out of the way. Just get the series win out of the way.
And then we're out of here.
And then we're on here. All right, guys. We'll start off in the NBA. The Denver Nuggets, they swept the Lakers a couple days ago. They are awaiting their finals opponents, and the Eastern Conference Finals are going to go on a little bit longer. Miami had a chance to close out the series last night. They lost at home to the Celtics 116-99. Miami leads that series 3-1 now. Game 5 is going to be tomorrow night. Jason Tatum had 33 points leading the way for the Celtics.
Boy, Kluger said yesterday, and I missed this.
This was shocking.
Because I'm not on Twitter, but when I walked out of the room, he said their ESPN was giving the Boston Celtics, Ben, a 42% chance of coming back and not winning last night's game, winning the series. 42% felt like massive.
Almost a coin flip?
That's that's not reasonable.
No.
But it just goes to show you the metrics of this series have always favored Boston immensely. They were still favored in the series when they were down 2-0. I don't. You can never say that, oh, I'm predicting Boston's going to come back and win 4. No team has ever done it in the NBA.
Right.
0-150.
42%. I'm like, how do I get in on those odds?
However.
Yeah.
two of the next three games would be at TD Garden, yep. including Game 5.
So there
All
you go.
They have to do is win at home in Game 5. They'll be favored in that game. That gets them to a Game 6 in Miami. All the pressure will be on the Heat then in Game 6.
Absolutely.
Massive pressure. Because then they lose that one. They got to go back to Boston for a Game 7. And then it is really panic time. So, I mean, if I'm the Heat, I treat Game 5 as though it's basically Game 7. I know it's on the road, but you're going... I don't think you want to let Boston get one more win in this series. You probably shouldn't have let them get last night. You were up 9 in the third quarter. The Celtics finally got hot. They hadn't been shooting. If they keep shooting, they can win this series. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's going to happen at some point. Just like it did in baseball, finally, with, by the way, a Boston team.
Boston team.
It's going to happen at some time in basketball. Will it be this series? Probably the best chance we've seen in a long time for a team to do it, I'd say. Still,
hence the 42%.
Still, remains, 42%, still wow. remains a long shot. I think longer than 42%, but
pretty nuts.
It's not impossible.
All right. Saw this morning in the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting that the New York Jets, we talked about them earlier for different reasons, are hosting Matt Araiza for a workout today. He's been out of the NFL since he was released by the Bills last summer. And
that was only last summer.
Yeah. August, I think. Right around training camp? Yeah. In training camp?
Yeah, it was right as they were getting started, I think. He was there for the first preseason game, but then he didn't play.
Right.
And then the Bills let him go. Tells me that his media tour has been at least somewhat successful.
Yeah.
His interview with Kimberly Hunt and all the other people that talked to Matt Araiza in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's been a lot of developments over the last couple of weeks. Yahoo Sports has been all over it. And I think it was just last week, San Diego State officially announced that they had an internal investigation and they found no wrongdoing by him, that he was not at the party at the time of the incident. And so he's
seemingly in the clear.
And able to, try to get his NFL career back.
Get his life back.
I'll say this. As with any situation, a he said, she said situation, we will never know the entire truth.
No.
In fact, even sometimes the people involved don't
remember
the entire truth of what happened that night. So I'm not going to make a judgment one way or another. I will say that given there's been enough evidence that's come out that Matt Araiza deserves to go on with his career at this point, to move on and 100%. Have an opportunity in the NFL.
Agreed.
And if he can show that he can still be a huge leg and punt, I would expect him to get that opportunity. An NFL team shouldn't be afraid of at this point of what his character is or what's coming out. Enough has been in his favor right now that I would, if I was an executive, I'd feel okay about it.
Yeah, fair
Again,
enough.
And I don't know what happened and don't know who was in the wrong. Not going to make a comment on that, but just from the evidence and the perception now, it's time for him to get a chance.
Yeah. Civil case still ongoing.
Yeah, I think still ongoing.
And maybe a surprise will come out that we don't know about, but it does feel like police investigated, the prosecutor investigated, like the school
Jets,
investigated.
The Jets aren't jumping the gun or anything.
Right. They didn't find anything that, would have him.
Now, it's interesting because didn't the Bills say that they were aware of all of this when they drafted him?
No, they weren't when they drafted him. They were not.
Really?
Yeah, they did not know about this. I don't think so. Some teams were. I don't think the Bills were.
Maybe that's what it was. Some NFL teams were aware. I don't know. All right, and then finally, a surgeon in Germany was fired because he had a hospital janitor assist him with a toe amputation surgery.
I am just looking forward for Woods' somewhat problematic German accent to come out of this story.
I don't understand.
Because he was fired.
You can't, if you're a doctor, if you're a surgeon, and you are performing surgery, you can't ask the janitor in the hallway to help you remove
greasy hands and what have you. You don't know where those hands have been.
But you don't really know where anyone's hands
have
been.
Well, I assume the surgeon has done the whole thing where they wash their hands very carefully, for 5 minutes, and then don't touch anything, and they have the nurse put the gloves on.
Is there more context?
Not really. I'm reading.
What
from
did the janitor
here.
Do? So, did he like you so know maybe? Just at chop off the toe himself? Did
so this need happened, disposal
some garden shears or something?
So this actually happened a couple of years ago. It came to light this week in the AP. I don't know if the case or whatever just ended, but it says here that the surgeon decided to go ahead with the routine procedure, even though there were no qualified assistants around to help him,
buddy.
So he had the janitor. Yeah.
Get in here.
It's like that time Tim Flannery asked me to warm him up on the side of the field.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
There was no qualified people who said, Ben, grab a glove. All right, I'm not qualified to do this.
How embarrassing was it?
I was okay. It wasn't bad. No. I was nervous.
Did you short hop him a bunch?
No, I got it there. I was okay.
How far?
It was,
60
know,
feet?
Yeah, about 80 feet. Maybe
80 feet?
A little longer than pitching.
Where is
bound
the
line.
Video of this?
No one was there. It was a day game, empty stadium. No one was out there.
You got to warm up Flan, though. It's pretty badass.
He was going to throw BP, and I had to warm him up.
I've always had the bucket list stuff. Just have a catch with
he would have
a catch with Manny.
He would have picked someone qualified had they been available.
They've been there.
But they weren't. Just like this doctor, I'm sure, would have rather gone with a nurse, a medical assistant, but they weren't there.
Yeah,
so
the patient was on an anesthetic, and he became restless, I guess. And so the doctor asked a nearby janitor to help hold the man's leg and pass him the surgical tools.
All right, hold him down.
And said the incident.
Get that wooden spoon and shove it in his mouth.
The incident came to light after a hospital manager spotted the janitor, bloody gauze pads in his hand, just hanging out in the operating room.
Dominic wants to know if that happened in Frankfurt, Germany.
Frankfurt.
Surprised Ben missed that one. But did he die?
No.
Still alive.
Lost what are you complaining about?
Yeah, everything's fine.
He was supposed to lose it.
Well, would you
right?
Would you be upset if you went in for surgery and then you came to and realized
I'd be mad I lost
if
my
a janitor
toe.
Was helping you
if
out?
If the surgery went fine, why would I care?
Yeah, I guess if it's fine, it's fine. But
now, if
the janitor's a hero. That's
if there was
that's
a complication and you got a huge infection because of the janitor, then yes, I'm suing the hospital and everybody. But if the surgery went fine.
The headline read that the surgeon was fired.
Yeah.
I don't know about the janitor.
He brought him in. No, people deliver, you're a hero if you deliver a baby on the side of the road, right? You're a hero.
Have you done that before?
No, God, no. No, thanks. Couldn't. I'd call for help, but that's as far as I could go. I couldn't get down there.
You couldn't do it.
No. Did you get down there?
No.
No. I stood at the head.
I mean, I wasn't really asked to.
Would you have?
I mean, if I had to, if we weren't going to make it to the hospital, yeah. Yeah, I could have done it. Might have been traumatized for a while, but I could have done it.
So when you had your kids, though, you weren't down at the...
I mean, it was on the side. There was a...
Yeah, I know. It's fine. It's
blanket,
we're good.
A sheet of some sort.
Right. We're good. Like a fort.
It's been a while.
Like a fort over the
for
legs.
For me, it's been...
20 years.
20 for one and almost 18 for the other. I have foggy memories. Yours are much more fresh.
It was one of the most traumatic things I've ever been through. My poor wife. Really? You, standing there like an a-hole... As they cut her open, give me my children.
Got an update on our Ben and Woods bet. You can see it behind me.
I'm getting crushed.
Right over there. We'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got plans this Memorial Day weekend? Take 97.3 The Fan with you, no matter if you're hitting the pool, at the grill, lounging at home, or remembering our troops. Download the Audacy app. That's AUDACY. Search 97.3 The Fan. Hit play. Plus, you can find us on your smart speaker, too. Just tell your device to play 97.3 The Fan. Nice job by the Padres going out. How many times this season do you feel like we've seen them go one out, two outs?
Yes.
And then actually score some runs? Juan Soto. It's a standing ovation, walks up in the first inning, takes the first pitch, lines it right back up the middle off Mackenzie Gore. He said after the game, you know, I hadn't faced Mackenzie Gore before. It wasn't his teammate like these other guys, but they said, he throws hard. This guy's tough. And he said, I didn't want to fall behind the count, so just went right after it, just laced one, like 110 or something, right at the middle. Smoked it up the middle. And then Xander, nice at bat, goes the other way. Didn't really think it was a home run off the bat, probably at Petco. Wouldn't have been. Brandon Dixon's, by the way, I saw, would not have been a home run at Petco Park.
Would not.
Are you kidding me?
It would not.
He was in the second deck in center field in Washington. They say would not have homered at Petco Park. But on the road, you get a little more flight on the baseball, and the Padres get some early offense. They add on, and even when they gave up the lead, they were able to bounce right back. But, getting to Mackenzie Gore early and getting his pitch count up was kind of key as well, and it also helped me win our daily bet, our $10 bet that we have. You set the over-under on Mackenzie Gore strikeouts at 6.5.
Yes.
Yesterday.
And We strike out a lot, and I know he's got nasty stuff. What did he end up with, 5?
It was a tough one. I look back, his last four starts, he had like 9, 4, 7, and 3 strikeouts. So he certainly could do 7, no problem. He's done that a few times this season. I will say this, though. I went with the under thinking Padres get his pitch count up. I'd be surprised if he goes more than 5 innings. He didn't even get to 5. He got to, 4 1/3 or 4 2/3. Had 5 strikeouts. Didn't get to the 7 that you would have needed to win the bet. My timeline, though, yesterday, when I posted our bet, you're not on Twitter anymore. It was a constant stream of negativity. It was everybody saying, oh no, that's easy, that's the over, we're gonna go 7 innings, 1 hit, 13 strikeouts.
I saw that too.
It was just, I mean, there must have been 24 people who thought I was being crazy for taking the under 6.5.
It's a good call
on the strikeouts.
It was a really good call. I said it was your choice, and you picked it.
But are you disturbed at all by the, I mean, I know they've had a rough month, so the discouragement level is
no,
high.
I know, not you, but all
the Padres fans out there.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I know they're discouraged. Yeah. I think they have every right to be, and I think every player feels it. And I think, the one place it doesn't really show up is Petco Park. You know, the place is packed. And I was listening the other night. I was watching the game, and the only time I heard even a smattering of boos was at the end of the game, Ben. So this is still a pretty positive fan base overall, and I think the more level-headed fan, of which, by the way, I'm not necessarily the more level-headed fan. I told you about earlier in the week, that boomer does live inside of me. He's in there. I'm trying to be. It's part of my growth process as a human being, to try to be more rational, right? To try to think more big picture. And it is hard doing, you know, talking about them on a daily basis like we do. But the only time I heard boos, and it was a crap game, whenever it was it It was maybe, it was Friday. It was Friday night. And Blake Snell was terrible. The guys played terrible. He scored one run. I was waiting. Somebody grounded a double play late. I was waiting for booze to rain down upon the guys, and I didn't hear it. And I thought to myself, all right, people are still, the place was packed. It was jammed. People stuck around for the end. At the end, when they lost the game, you heard a smattering of boos, but it certainly wasn't, it wasn't anything where you went, oh my God, the fan base has turned. No, dude, they're still buying merch. They're still stoked about the moments they're creating. They're still showing up at Petco Park, having a great time. You don't ever want to become the Cubs of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, where it's like, haha, we're just lovable losers with a great ballpark experience. Bro, there's still a ton of stars here that if they figure it out, this team will be in it at the end.
I understand why double plays often, you know, they're two outs, so they're very frustrating. But, you know, usually if you hit into a double play, it means, first of all, you make contact. You probably hit it pretty hard. It just didn't go in the right place, or you didn't quite get it up in the air. You missed it by just a hair.
A smidge.
On a double play. And you're close to being what you want to do in those situations. Yeah, a guy has a non-competitive at-bat and swings at three balls that are in the opposing batter's box on sliders and looks lost. Even I might even throw out, boo. You know, that's,
I would love to see
but
you boo.
If a guy hits a two-hopper that just happens to go right at the third baseman or makes a nice turn and goes to first, you tip your cap to the pitcher and the other team. You know, made a good pitch. You put a good swing on it.
I mean, even
didn't
Blake,
go where you wanted it to go.
Even Blake didn't get, you know, didn't get crushed by the fans that night. I mean, it was a clunker. It was a clunker. And I think, you know, with this team in this city, getting a taste of success last year, just a taste of what it could be like, I think everyone's still learning, you know, learning how to react and how to handle. We're no different. None of us are any different. We're all trying to figure it out. But I'm not surprised that there was negativity on Twitter, Ben. That's like saying this water is very wet. It's so wet, this water.
All right, we're going to come back bottom of the hour here, last segment. We asked yesterday, was Sunday potentially a turning point? Well, I'm not changing my opinion yet, but signs are trending in a positive direction. We will come back and wrap things up on Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got a new bet, Woodsy, over the break. The wager tonight, and I am now $20 up in our $10 wager.
The man who literally never wins a bet.
What happened to Fabe Ben?
I know, right? He's white hot right now.
Testing the runners in scoring position predicament.
Yeah.
Over and under 1.5 hits for the Padres with runners in scoring position tonight.
I'm sick to my stomach by taking the over 1.5, but I did it.
So I did a little research.
Oh, no.
10 out of the last 12 games that would have lost. They twice got two hits with runners in scoring position. Every other game, it's 0 or 1 in the last 12.
I mean,
the last time they got more than two hits with runners in scoring position, May 2nd, in the series opener against the Cincinnati Reds, when they got seven hits with runners in scoring position. Since then, it's been 0, 1, or 2 every game, with a vast majority of them being 0 or 1.
You hit four home runs a game, though, for the rest of the season in every game. I like our chances.
As Bob Melvin said,
they're in scoring position when they touch home
home runs, you're in scoring position at home plate.
Exactly.
As Jake Cronenworth
right.
said, well, you drive yourself in, you don't have a problem.
That's exactly right.
When it comes to runners in scoring position.
Kudos to Crony. Another nice game.
I think I would have picked over as well. You've got Trevor Williams on the mound, and he's decent, yep. But the Padres lineup should be able to put together some rallies and have the opportunity. It's not like they haven't had opportunity. It's one thing if you're going 1-for-4 and 0-for-3.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 1-for-12. 1-for-10s
yes.
and 0-for-9s.
Yes.
And it's not like.
What's our team OBP?
It's not like
guys are getting on base.
Yeah.
I feel like guys are getting on base.
I would say they're almost certainly in the upper half, maybe even in the top 10 in the league in team OBP.
Which is the worst because in my opinion, it's hard to get on base. I mean, it's really hard to hit. It is. It's hard to get knocks at that level. But having so much traffic on the base paths, please be careful on the base paths tonight. Please. I'm begging you. No back picks, no dicey tag-ups and caught stealings and things. Just kind of keep it under control tonight. But, I'm looking right now to see where the Padres fall in OBP because I do feel like they get on base a lot of the time.
Give us the answer right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
That's not as good as I thought it was.
But no, they're 18th in baseball with a .316 team on-base percentage. Now, they're 30th in baseball with a .225 team average. So the gap between their average and their OBP is pretty significant. They're getting on a lot more than their average would indicate. But until the average comes up a little, it's hard to raise the OBP significantly. You have to get some hits as well.
Yep.
To have a decent on-base percentage.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a decent matchup for them, too, with Trevor Williams. Nothing against Trevor. He's pitching fine. But
And here's where I wanted to go in terms of the... Was Sunday a turning point? And I said, no, it's not a turning point.
You lost the series.
You won the game, but you can't turn around your season with one win. Now, they won again. If they end up going on a winning streak, they win today and they sweep and, you know, maybe take two or three from the Yankees and have a really good road trip, you would go back and say, well, what's the date? When everyone goes, oh, the Padres since May 20...
Yeah, there's always that date.
You know, first have played really good baseball. That was a turning point in the season. It isn't yet, but at some point it may be viewed as such, especially if they can just build some confidence. It's not, I'm not a momentum person necessarily, but when you score seven once and then you score seven again, you do that a third straight day. You can't help but have a lineup start to permeate with some confidence. You just go up there expecting good things to happen rather than bad things to happen. It's a mindset. It's mental. Yeah. It's absolutely real. It's not momentum, but it is, you know, you do like to see some positive results and have a good mental outlook when you go up to home plate.
It would be incredible, though, if they scored another seven runs tonight but go 0-6 with runners in scoring.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, this is who we are now.
Games,
feast or famine.
Both games, 7 runs, 1-19 combined.
Padres put up 7 runs consistently. They will be the best team in baseball.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Don't complain.
No doubt about it.
They will
be the best team in baseball, however they do it. They score 7 a night, exactly 7, not one more, not one less. They will win 80-90% of their games the rest of the season.
Weather's on the bump tonight. Should have a pretty rested bullpen behind him. So, yeah, I mean, this is he's pitched really, really well. He's pitching with something to prove. He's pitching with a big chip on his shoulder. Doesn't want to be sent back down. And I've liked what I've seen from him so far. So just go out there and battle, man, and try to figure out a way to win this series today. And it doesn't make tomorrow less important at all. Because stacking some wins against teams like that, I mean, you look at their lineup and you look at ours, and you're like, oh, my God, how's this game even close? It's legitimately a Triple-A lineup, no question. And you look at ours, and you're like, all right, yeah, we should be bodying these guys. And we did. We won by 4 runs, so it's fine.
Three.
The late one. Broke Nick Martinez's scoreless inning streak,
The bullpen was at 31 and a third. I didn't realize it had gotten that far. 31 and a third scoreless innings by the bullpen snapped. On that RBI double that Martinez allowed. But that is by far the best bullpen in baseball in the month of May. They have crushed it this month. The results, no one notices because they're not protecting leads. They're not turning them into victories. But the bullpen has been phenomenal.
Lights out, man. If anybody wants to call in, got about 15 minutes left of the show. 833-288-0973. You can call in, weigh in on your opinions on our beloved Padres.
I got a couple things, a little sports topic wheel for
What's
you.
What's that bit we used to do?
When I would just go and
when
just...
When Paul and I would just be like, oh, okay, you're just reading news and notes now. What was it called?
Ben's Grab Bag?
It used to be Golf Talk.
No, yeah, that's right. No, the grab bag.
The grab bag, yeah.
I forgot about the grab bag. Well, we had a song.
This is baseball.
Okay.
There we go. Congratulations to La Costa Canyon's Mickey Moniak. Hit his third leadoff home run of the season, tied for the lead in all of Major League Baseball.
Mickey Moniak is an angel
now.
That's right.
Does the top prospect, number one overall draft pick, didn't really make it. Took a long time, I think 2016, or it's been a while. And he finally he's hitting over 400 with the Angels, off to a really good start, though. They beat the Red Sox 4-0. On the other end of the spectrum, Mariners beat the A's 3-2. The A's are now 10-40. It's the worst start in Major League Baseball since the 1932 Boston Red Sox. They're very even. They're 5-20 at home and 5-20 on the road so far this season. And they are possibly going to challenge for one of the worst records in baseball history.
What's the worst record in baseball history?
Let's see. I was reading it yesterday, too. Worst record. It's like the Cleveland Spiders. I don't know that they can get to that one, but like the modern... The Cleveland Spiders went 20-134.
Don't you?
That's
my
not
going to
happen. That was in 1899.
Don't you give Mark Kotze
the second worst?
You don't make him. You don't fire him after this year.
The
right?
second like, worst by winning percentage, the Pittsburgh Alleghanies in 1890 went 23-113.
What about the modern?
The third worst record in baseball history by winning percentage right now 10-40. The Oakland A's. No modern team has had a worst.
Three of the first
record.
Four teams were all before 1900.
Yeah.
1916, the Philadelphia Athletics were 36-117.
Oh, my God.
And the 35 Boston Braves were 38-115.
What's like the...
Mets, the ones that everyone talks about, the expansion Mets 1962 went 40-120.
I guess recently?
Yeah,
2003, the Tigers went 43-119.
That's gnarly. That's gnarly. That's modern-ish era. What year? 2003. Yeah, that's modern era. 20 years ago.
43-119.
Oh, my God. Imagine suffering through that.
The Baltimore Orioles a few years back, 2018, went 47-115.
If you got a 4 in front of your record, that's a rough
Tigers
rough.
Again. In 2019, went 47-114.
But just when you think we have it bad here in San Diego, think about Detroit.
Got a couple of red-hot hitters. Aaron Judge, tying home run in the ninth inning in the Yankees 6-5 win over the Orioles. Potter's, of course, going to have to face him this weekend.
Just walk him.
At Yankee Stadium. Just be very careful. Garrett Cole got his 2,000th career strikeout in that game. Have you guys seen Christopher Morel?
Yes, hottest hitter
with
in
the Chicago Cubs. He's hit home runs in five games in a row.
It's unreal.
He's only played 12 games all season with the Cubs. He's homered in 9 of them.
That's insane.
That's pretty crazy.
9 out of 12 games.
Cubs beat the Mets 7-2. Vlad Jr. had 6 RBI as the Blue Jays annihilated the best team in baseball, the Rays, 20-1 yesterday. That was a funny final score.
Cheating lab closed yesterday for the Tampa Bay Rays. That's unsubstantiated.
The D-backs are hot again. They're not going away. They've won 9 of 11. They beat the Phillies 4-3.
I don't know if you guys are like me, but I'm 100% every day seeing what the D-backs did, seeing what the Dodgers did, and the Dodgers are rolling.
Shocker, the Dodgers brought up a minor leaguer, young prospect to pitch, and did pretty well. 5 innings, 1 run for Bobby Miller.
Throws 100 easy.
In his MLB debut.
Cool, man.
Beat Spencer Strider, and they took the first 2 from the Braves.
Hell yes.
With an 8-1 win. Padres winning 2 in a row. They have not gained a single game on any team in the NL West.
Awesome.
Every other team has at least a 2-game winning streak.
Cool.
In the division.
Cool.
Feeling good.
All right, continuing with the grab bag, you're going to hate this one. What do you think of the new fair catch kickoff rule in the NFL? Did you see that they approved yesterday? So, like now in college, if a team kicks the ball off, but the returner fair catches it on a kickoff, like at the 5, they bring it out to the 25.
Okay.
So, if you had done that before, you get the ball at the 5. If it doesn't go into the end zone, so a lot of teams have basically...
Kickoff, not a punt.
Yeah, so a lot of teams have been having their kickers on a kickoff on the tee, try to kick it really high, but don't go in the end zone, because if it goes in the end zone, they get out of the 25.
Right.
You know, try to kick it to like the 1 really high, and then we go down and cover
it. I don't think I've ever seen a fair catch on a kickoff.
No, well, you can't do it, because in the NFL, in college you do. But in the NFL, you would get the ball right there. You don't want it with the ball.
You just let it bounce. You either let it bounce
or
go into the end zone.
But you can't let it bounce, because if it doesn't go in the end zone, it's a fumble. So you got to pick it up.
Get it.
So you pick it up and you run it and you get tackled at the 18. This is a safety measure.
I have no problem.
To make less kickoffs returned. A guy now can just fair catch it at the 2, goes, I don't have a return. I'll just take it at the 25. You're going to see there's already been less kickoffs now that they moved it to the... back to the 35, and they're kicking it further now. You've already had less kickoffs returned. You'll have even fewer kickoff returns in the NFL next season.
Don't care.
With this new rule.
Don't care. It's the that feels like something that you would...
At some point, they just go at XFL and just put
it
ball
on
the 25
and go. Yeah,
I mean, I'd rather.
Kick returns are exciting plays when
they
happen, though.
But what if your dad was a kick returner and you're a little kid? No, pass. I'm good. I mean, they are. They're fun as hell. But it's... Bro, it's what you would make gladiators do. Like if you were the emperor, you're like,
it's the modern
run
day.
That back. And you're like, I'm gonna die.
You got 11 guys going full speed, NFL athletes who can run and are built, and they're all trying to run into you at full speed. It's the most dangerous play in sports.
I would still like to see them move it back even further, move it back 5 more yards to the 30. And if you kick it through the uprights, you
field
get 3
goal.
Points, and then just redo it.
I had a buddy that used to return punts.
Oh God,
he's never been the same. He's just there's a little,
it's terrifying.
There's a little chip missing from that kickoff punts and fearless, like that guy that would stand in and take it and whatever. But he's never really been the same. I'm good, man. Football's hard enough. It's violent enough for the other. However long the games are, Ben, it's violent enough without having those guys just get absolutely trucked at full speed. That's 2 automobiles heading toward each other,
blindsided.
35 miles an hour.
You can't see the guys running at you and follow the ball.
And look for the ball?
You can't do it.
How many would you muff? I would muff
every single one.
9 out of 10, probably. Every one, every ball. Oblong ball spinning towards me. I would muff. I could barely catch a spiral, like much less
so hard.
I am
through a helmet.
Oh, no,
yeah.
I'm calling your bluff.
No way.
I think right now, like I think if this summer, if we went even to the San Diego State practice fields and you were told they won't hit you, but they're going
to
be charging at you, I don't think you'd catch one.
I get 1 out of 10.
Get 1 out of 10, even if there was no one, it was a machine.
If I knew they weren't going to hit me, I could get 1.
They do that sometimes, like in halftime for a contest.
If they hang it high enough and they can get there, they're going to be in your grill. They can be yelling at you.
Maybe you're right.
I don't think you catch one.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
It'd be terrifying.
That'd be awful. And all the gear, too.
Plus, it's an awkward football. It's an awkward shape to catch you.
Especially, all they have to do to get me, kick it to where I have to move anything more than 1 foot.
Right.
If I have to run towards it and catch it, it's over. That's muffed every time.
Catching it on the run, such such a difficult skill.
I have no problem with it.
Underappreciated by fans, I really think, don't. How hard
those,
that is.
Those guys put their...
Because they make it look easy, but it is not.
They put their butts on the line every week. If they're going to take, you know, take that out of football or limit it or whatever, as exciting as it is, fine. But it's...
I think that's one of the secretly most impressive plays in sports. A punt returner catches a ball.
Running.
Stop. Gets drilled like in the first second.
Yeah.
And holds on to it.
Shakes it.
Like, how do they do that?
I know.
Do they even do that?
It's nuts. All right, Paulie, spin it.
Yeah, I'm out of even grab bag items now, so.
We've exhausted
Unless you want to know about Austin Eckler's new deal with the Chargers.
Nope. Good. Okay. Good on that.
Then we can pass on
He's
that.
He's staying. I know that.
Yeah, it's just they added incentives. There's a big nothing burger. Mm-hmm.
What did you want to be as a kid when you grew up?
Baseball player. Easy.
This.
Really?
Totally
oh,
this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, this was what I
Broadcast
had
sports broadcaster. 100%.
Oh, you're lucky. You're living your dream.
I am. Wow. This is my dream job.
I wanted to be a baseball player. I did. I wanted to be but it goes away quick, you know. But when I was probably 10, probably age 10 through 15, that's all I dreamed about was being a baseball player. And then... You know, you don't do well in school, and your coach, you don't jive with him, and your dad doesn't cut the grass at the field in the summers. And, you know, there's a lot of, I guess I learned at an early age, too. There's a lot of politics in sports, lots. And you have to kind of play the game as well. And I was not a big fan of
playing. I did very well at school. Maybe I should have aimed higher. Maybe I set my dreams too low.
I think you did. Oh, answer me this question. I have a mini topic here. We had our last, it was our T-ball party last night. So all the
did
kids,
they get you a coach's gift?
They did.
What did you get?
I got these pants from Vuori.
Yeah, Vuori pants.
You like those?
I do like them. That is a very unusual gift for a T-ball coach. It's usually...
Maybe just a plaque with the team photo?
Yeah.
I love that. I would take this any day.
I know.
It's a great gift. Yeah, it's an odd gift to receive as a coach.
I was so happy.
Sometimes it's like a gift card to Chili's or something.
I would have taken that too, as you know. So we gave out the kids trophies, by the way.
Participation
trophies. Nobody died. Nobody died.
Oh, boy.
Here's the thing.
Call now and
dream
air
us.
Air out Woods for participation trophies.
The look on these kids' face. It's the one time these little turds sat and rapt attention all season because they were waiting for their trophy. So I did superlatives for each player.
You did.
I did. So I
most this
yeah,
and
best
most
this,
that.
Like my boy Jackson won Silver Slugger because he was just, he won the Home Run Derby. He was just a masher. So we're in the car on the way over and Hannah goes, "What's Bo gonna win?" And I go, "MVP." And she goes, "You can't." And I go,
"Why not?"
I go, "Why?" And she goes,
"You don't want anybody to get MVP? You don't want anybody to feel bad?"
Well,
or
she said, "You can't. You're his dad." And I go, "But he was my best player." And she goes, "You cannot give him MVP." So I had to give him Gold Glove. He was so happy, though.
I've talked about this before. I won Most Improved, which is really the saddest one to get.
I gave one out of Most Improved. He was so bad at the beginning, and by the last game, Ben, he was crushing
Was there any that you had to stretch to come up with something? Like,
not really.
Rack your brain. So you're a good coach.
I had a speed demon. Okay. I had the speed demon, the kid that always runs hard. I had Heart and Hustle. They're twins, so one heart, one
well behaved. Did you have a most well behaved?
I had best teammate.
Best
I had
teammate.
Best teammate because my man Mason wore one in the face.
Give Paul and we got 30 seconds. Give Paul and I an award right now for a show. What do I get
for today's show?
Yeah, today's show. What do I get?
Best half prepared.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about Paulie?
Paulie, best executive producer in town by far.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was way worse than I thought it was going to be.
I give myself the...
What about my holiday bowl idea?
I thought that was really good. Today. It was really
killed.
Good.
It didn't work, though.
It didn't work. We didn't get
that's
it.
That's true.
But
all right, that's
job.
It for us. Coach is up next for Paul Reinl, the
speaking
best executive
and,
producer in
speaking
town.
Speaking of Heart and Hustle. Coach
and Stephen Woods, I'm the half-prepared Ben Higgins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.